to share with you a little bit of the vision of the EEA and how we are working toward intersection and working collaboratively with the Ethereum Foundation and other organizations as well moving forward. Just a little background from where I spent 12 years at Intel in the telecom side of things. So it's very interesting in my world and how it addresses the world of more of open source. So it's been a learning experience to figure out how we marry the best of both worlds. And I think that's one of the reasons why I think I was even invited to take the role of heading up the EEA, is that we need to do that. We shouldn't try to reinvent the wheel. And so there's lots of benefits from both aspects of looking at what's a purest version of open source and how does that work, and how do you also protect the enterprises of which we address, and that's how we started. I joined last January, but as many of you know, the EEA's the initial date was Joe Lubin told me it was February 29th of the prior year, and so in any event, it's a very new organization, but the intent was, okay, we have the open mainnet, and there's a vision, a purpose for it, but again, what about the enterprise? And we are leaving out the opportunity for enterprises to do good in the world, as well as be profitable. So that's partially of the role of what I believe we should do and how we work. So we formed. And what we ended up doing, we took a look at initially, the EEA was even thinking of writing code. But when you look at the organizations that I am very familiar with, or standards orgs that I'm familiar with and have been actively engaged in the last 15, 20 years, such as the IEEE, and I don't know if you're familiar with some of these, ETSI, and then 3GPP. And 3GPP is a partnership project. It's a group, it's not even formal. They write a spec, there's no code, and then it goes to ETSI, which is the European the version of a standards org, but it covers international, and then it gets rubber stamped, and then it becomes a global spec. And the end result, and this is the philosophy that I'd really like to see, is that when you buy if you buy a cell phone here in Prague, and it's made in Korea, and then you show up in Venezuela and you buy a SIM card, you expect that phone to work. And that's all about interoperability and global interoperability. And that's the vision that I'd like to see our world be. And the way to do it is to have a standards org. And so a standards org doesn't write code. We should never compete with our members who do work. And then in order to enforce the standards code, you need some form of certification. And that's the reason why all these phones work. And where I come from, it's called NWIoT, Network Interoperability Testing. Every one of those operators buy that phone, they plug it into their own network, or they don't sign off on it. So we can't do all those things because that's hardware, but there's things that we could do for software, and there's lots of ways. You guys, because I originally came out of the entertainment gaming industry as a product marketing manager, there's lots that you can do to assure interoperability. So that's where I'm coming from. That's where I've got support from our board and the folks in our world. How do we do that using the EEA? So I've walked you through. I'm not going to go through all the slides, but you'll be able to get them. So I already share with you why standards are really important, because without that, we can't accomplish that goal. In our org, we have a very good board of directors, and initially I was telling some of the guys, I don't want you thinking, I know it is all the biggest companies in the world, so where are they compared to the smallest ones? So, and as you know, in the world of blockchain and the enterprise, the lowest hanging fruit are financial services. So, of course, and there's Amber, hi Amber, so she helps start the Quorum side of things. So in any event, that was low-hanging fruit. But if you take a look at some of the folks on our board, Andrew Miller from the University of Illinois, and then so we try to have a balanced approach, and everybody gets one vote, no matter how big or small you are. And the organization, since I started, we've doubled in size. And I can share with you the argument that we make is, okay, if you're looking for interoperability, if you're looking for of assurance, and I can tell you it's not easy to convince the enterprises to bet down, let alone understand what blockchain is, but to bet down and make a commitment, not easy. And so that's our story. We use what the EA is about, and it can help all of you, even if you're looking at where we're headed, which I would like to see us when we talk about the roadmap, enhance our specifications so we can do things to help accelerate the adoption on the public mainnet. Because right now we're not doing that, but we want to. So we have 500 members, and we're growing, continually growing more and more. And the reason why is they do want these enterprises, whether small or large, and particularly if they buy from smaller companies. And I'm an ex-Intel guy, but I can tell you, if Intel is competing in that very small company, it's really hard for the small company to get some traction. So being part of an organization like an EA, when you say you're writing code that conforms to the EA here, it's certified, they feel better about taking the risk. We're diversified. We have members from all over the world, different categories of business. We try. The bottom line is, folks are joining us in all the different areas. The way we're organized, we have a legal advisory group. We're not doing a tremendous amount of legal work, but we do try to intersect there. The technical spec work is headed by Connor Svensson. He'll come up and talk to you a little bit about our roadmap and our stack. And then we're forming a certification working group. And actually now we're going to form a global test net. And that global test net means if you guys are writing solutions based on Enterprise Ethereum, and you can use our test net, and we have a goal of getting that up and running. We now have a commitment from different companies, including Microsoft, to help us do this. So we plan to implement that, and then you can actually have your customers, they don't have to be a member of the org, and they can use it. And I'm just checking the time. Is it tracking there, or where is it that track the time? You're there, keep me posted. Okay, so another thing that we do is we now have associate member program. So I don't know if some of you saw it, but we entered an agreement with Hyperledger, and I was invited to present, and we did get an applause when Brian Bellendorf, and I don't know if he's here, invited me, but at the end of the day, I encouraged the folks who work on Fabric to develop a version that could conform to the EA spec. And since they're not a standards org, there's very good synergy. And we invite all these other orgs around that could be synergistic, because there isn't any one org that really solves all the problems that you need for developing solutions for blockchain. We also are very involved with the DIF organization. Some of you folks are familiar with the organizations that do social impact. We don't plan to deal with and write solutions for identity. We'll partner with the W3C, with DIF, ID 2020, and come up with the solutions, because again, we don't want to reinvent the wheel. And so how we operate, we have technical working groups. We also have special interest groups. And so we have one for financial services, one for health, and we're a member-driven org. We don't run the org, the members do. So if anybody wanted to have more visibility, whatever members want to see, they join and they raise their hands and they can make it happen. So that's how the org works. And that's how all standards org works. With that, I wanted to bring up Connor. I come out of the world of telecom. In telecom, they have, it's called an OSI 7-layer stack. We want to formalize how work is done technically, so you can have multiple vendors of choice. And by the way, this stack, you don't even need to take a photo. If you go to our website, you don't even have to say who you are, because I know you can just go to our website and you can download our stack and our spec, everything, and just do whatever you want in developing whatever you want. And then if you want to use our logo, or go through our certification process, then you would be asked to join because of intellectual property requirements, et cetera. But anybody here can download our spec and work on on Enterprise Ethereum. So I'll turn it over to Connor. He's going to walk you through and talk to you a little bit about our architecture stack.
Thanks, Ron. Hey, everyone. So I'm the chair of the TechSpec Working Group, but I'm also, developer by background. I wrote Web3J, the Java library for working with Ethereum, and have my own blockchain technology startup as well. So I come at this from a dev perspective, ultimately. The idea, though, with the architecture stack, as Ron said, inspiration was the OSI 7-layer model, but really it was the first artifact that the EA produced and put out there as a reference point to try and capture everything that we're thinking about with respect to the EA. The actual inspiration for the stack was a talk that was done at DevCon last year, where one of the developers working for the foundation did a talk on the anatomy of an Ethereum client. And one of the really neat things that they did there was they highlighted the components in yellow that were aligned with the yellow paper, and basically adopted that idea as well, because I thought it's a really neat way of talking in terms of where these things are formally specified in the yellow paper. Then also those components that are core to just general Ethereum, and then we added on a piece which was what we see as being more enterprise-focused pieces. The key always with the EA has been about Ethereum technology, and so we always see the initiatives that we're doing as being a superset of what's happening in the world of public Ethereum. We never want to sort of be separating ourselves from it, because many members of the EA are passionate about Ethereum technology. That's why they joined up. That's what got me into it as well, because I came from an enterprise background, but then really like the Ethereum technology, and it reminds me of the community, reminds me somewhat of the Linux community back in the day, and we all know how well that panned out there as well. But the stack, I'm not going to go through all the different layers about it now, but I think the key point is that we're trying to just encompass everything that we believe is in scope there, and you can certainly review it in your own time and go over to the EA website to review it. What I did want to talk about, though, was the specifications that we've released. This week we released two new specifications. On this slide here we have the organizations that directly contributed to these specifications. I think historically there's been sort of a perception with the EA that there was only a few firms contributing to it, but I think what's really nice about this is it shows that you've got a fairly good cross-section of different companies getting involved in the actual specification work, which I think is really cool to see. And so this week, the two specs that we released, one of them was the client specification V2. And so we released V1 to coincide with the Consensus CoinDesk conference in May of this year. We're now on a six-month release cycle with the EA specifications, whereby every 6 months the next version will come out. So we'd envisage the next one will be likely April next year. All of the development of these specifications now is taking place on GitHub. We're following similar sort of processes to how the W3C specs are being developed. So members are submitting issues and pull requests with changes. They get approved by just different members. There's actually going to be a lot more transparency as well very soon, in that we're going to be the actual repo is no longer going to be private, so people can see exactly what's happening as the specifications evolve. But in terms of the highlights, just wanted to sort of bring your attention to a couple of them. One of them is that we've now, in the EA spec, we have a core set of JSON RPC API implementations from Ethereum that you need to implement to have an enterprise Ethereum client. We've also added some additional ones, this EEA, which we use in EEA namespace, and this is mainly right now functioned around supporting the privacy models that are specified by the EA. So these are like your quorum type approach to privacy, where you have transactions being stored off chain, but also there's some on chain techniques as well that the likes of Clearmatics have been promoting with their actual client implementation. We also reference the pre-compiled contracts as well. So we list the eight pre-compiled contracts that are specified in the yellow paper. They're all now referenced in the EA spec as being mandatory requirements. And the other thing as well is that we've actually provided an API for network permissioning. The governance of private permission networks is obviously a challenge, and so we've now included in our specification an API for this based on work that some members have contributed. So it's for us it's a good move forward in that right now there's not really any standardization around this just yet. And we've also added in a security considerations section, but that's more based on just best practices around security for these permission chains. The other big specification release was the off-chain trusted compute spec. And so this was mainly driven by Intel and iExec, but a number of different contributors did get involved, including Oracle, and I think Consensus did some stuff. But the point is it provides a JSON RPC based API for vendors whereby they can achieve achieve a few different things there. One is use it for Oracle type services, another where they just want to use a secure enclave to do some sort of computation, or it could just be doing some sort of computations off chain in a a secure environment, but stuff that wouldn't actually be easy to do on-chain due to the performance requirements. So for us, we're really happy that it's made it out there because it's a second spec. We envisage that there will be multiple specs appearing over time, but especially given that it's ready in time for this conference as well, we're just, happy to have it out there and really keen for people to take a look and start feeding back into it. And so that was all I was going to say here, and I'll pass back to Ron to talk about the roadmap. Thank you.
So we have a timetable for roadmaps, and we try to tie it to events, so it puts pressure on the folks doing work. And so that helps. So our plan is to have a six-month, as Connor said, a six-month cadence. So we're an open door. Anyone who wants to be involved in the EA can be a member. And just to share with you, so it's $3,000 for a member with a company that has 50 or less employees. So we try to make it affordable. We're a nonprofit, so the money that comes in just pays for the work that we do, trying to support the activities to get the spec done. We're not a profit-making venture, and we don't make a lot of money. And what we get approved by our board, and then we spend it on making sure our test net will get in place. We have a test net. We'll try to promote to the whole world the benefits of blockchain technology. So those are some of the things we do. And again, we hire folks to work on our spec. And as far as making sure it conforms to the quality and caliber that if we show our spec to a standards org, and there's they're called SDO, standards development orgs, they're even more rigid, like IEEE, and we're like a Wi-Fi alliance, so we can do marketing. So the quality and caliber of our spec has to be top-notch, and that's why our spec version for 0.5 is 0.5 for the trusted execution, because it's really our first one out. So we're not making it a formal spec yet compared to the other work that we're doing. So every six months, we'll be coming out with a new one. We're trying to get to the point of our, you don't see the test net there because I wasn't sure that we'll have one until I get commitments from members to say they're going to do it. And now I just got those commitments here at DevCon. So we absolutely, in order to make that happen, you need a common consensus mechanism, correct? So that's what we're working on. So anyone who's interested, and you could have a reason, not everybody's looking at enterprise side things, but we do want to scale so our solutions can support all kinds of future aspects of what maybe some of the things that you're working on. And then we'll have, so we'll be tying our next one time to like the consensus 2000. 2018 event timeframe. And then by next DevCon, we'll have release 4. And then our plan is to launch certification. You do certification through independent labs. So I want to leave just a couple minutes, so we're just about done. I just share with you, we're really committed to social impact. Part of the reason why I have this here is that we're going to work hard to get the enterprises to support, and they already do. I've learned about it through some of our board members, but we really want to do a good job to help the whole side of social impact. So with that said, we have just about 5 minutes for any questions. So there you go. Connor, you can come up in case it's technical. Thanks.
On the roadmap, is there going to be another client implementation of Quorum?
Okay, that's a good question. So initially, Quorum jump-started the work that we did. And but right now, what we I'd say this is about 6 months ago, we transitioned, and there was a Quorum working group, and Amber was completely involved in it, she can tell you. We transitioned that, and we did change the name because we want the work. We want this to be a collective. So there isn't anything. Quorum's work contribute to the technical spec that's built into the spec that you'll download. And so there are multiple clients that are all incorporated, rolled into one, that should be have the level interoperability is defined by what they all agree upon that's required, must have. So you have ClearMatics, you have Block Apps, you have the new Pantheon solution. All of those folks worked very closely together. So Quorum is a platform, or you can download the source code, right, for Quorum. And but it'll the goal is, and it is, because the Quorum guys are very involved in our org, it'll conform to the AA spec. Any other questions? Alex?
Sorry, could you share? I know that there was a couple sessions that we had on interaction with like public Ethereum. Could you just give a high-level overview of what the outcomes of those were?
Yeah, I'll talk a little bit about it. And so we've had multiple meetings with the folks from public Ethereum, and our goal is we should be very collegiately working collaboratively together, and we are. And so we track the roadmap that goes on in the Ethereum Foundation. We had some meetings where we talk about like the EIP process and how the EIP process should benefit, we should be mutually benefiting each other. So we had a 2-hour meeting that Connor actually presented on and others. And so we will actually look at what we develop, and if we see things that can work on and the ECRs or any of the EIPs that make sense, we'll do it. And we're also giving visibility to the folks in the Ethereum Foundation, too. They can go participate and see what we're doing. What's not on here, and I'll just add, right now the work we're doing is our private permission networks. I've talked to folks in our org and teammates. We want a roadmap to address public commercial networks that use the Ethereum mainnet. And so part of what we're looking to do, and I've talked to a number of companies, join us and contribute. How do we bring that in? And so we're leveraging, there's so many opportunities for the public mainnet that are commercial. And I can think of some that I'd love to see, like get rid of the ticket scalpers, the secondhand ticket market. I would pay money to have that done. So there, your imagination could just take you everywhere for what we want to do, because there's a lot of work, but you definitely need to create a spec. You need to get it certified. If you're going to get like FIFA or anybody else to say, I'm going to buy into it, they're going to want to know that there's 500 companies behind it. There's multiple vendors that they can pick from. Any other questions? Great. Thanks very much. Thank you.